I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. What a great Monday it's been. And before I get into this Letitia James stuff and Nikki Haley stuff and emails, I just want to make one more point on the military. Because there was something else that happened today. And didn't get a lot of publicity. You probably haven't heard about it. It happened a few hours ago. But you remember the whole Lloyd Austin disappearing thing and how weird that was? This is from a few weeks ago. But for those who maybe have forgotten or kind of passed over some of the details, Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, he went and checked himself into the hospital to get cancer treatment for prostate cancer. Only something happened. Whatever that may be, and nobody knew about it. The White House didn't know. His next in command, meaning she would have had to have been the acting Secretary of Defense. She was on vacation in Puerto Rico at the time. She didn't know. People just didn't know. Now, I want to explain something because, you know, we did Medal of Honor Monday about an hour ago. But I need to explain something really, really clearly about the military for those who maybe didn't serve. There is no, yes, by the way, Chris, I do want the 911 call. Yes, I do. There is no excuse ever that's allowed for you not showing up when you've been ordered to show up. It is a big, big deal. And you are never, under any circumstances, allowed to simply disappear from your post for a couple days. Ever. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Ah, but Jesse, he was checking in for prostate cancer. Let me explain it to you like this. When I was in the Marines, what would be something horrible that happened? My parents both died in a plane crash or something like that. Okay, so just devastating. Family wiped out. Everyone gone. And I left to go handle the funeral or something like that or take care of things. And I did not have permission to leave. I just left for a couple days to take care of something like that. I would probably be in Fort Leavenworth still. I most definitely would have been court-martialed. There's no question. That's how rigid that life is. So for the Secretary of Defense, that's a huge deal. Now, that brings me to what we were talking about the recruiting and retention crisis we have. One thing I hear over and over and over again from guys who've either gotten out or are getting out is they cannot handle the lack of accountability anymore from the higher-ups because the ground pounders, they still have to be accountable. It's not like that's different in the Marines today versus when I was in. Still, for you young Marines listening, go ahead and don't show up to work for a couple days and let me know how that works out for you. Don't do it. Let me just put it to you that way. But why are the generals and admirals allowed to constantly get away with this stuff? It's grinding the guys on the ground and they won't serve under it anymore. Lloyd Austin's staff decided to do a big review. And after reviewing everything, this is what they came up with. Quote, they did not find any indication of ill intent or an attempt to obfuscate on their part. That's weird that they didn't find any attempt to obfuscate because The 911 call's already in the public domain.
Can I ask, but can the ambulance not show up with lights and sirens? We're trying to remain a little subtle.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, usually when they turn into a residential neighborhood, they'll turn them off, but they're required by law to run with them with the main street.
Hey, can we make sure the lights are off? They hid the entire thing. They hid his ambulance pickup. The defense secretary has an army. I'm sorry, pardon the pun. But he has an army of staffers around him at all times. People lied. People obfuscated, Chris. People covered up the truth. And they once again did a thorough review of themselves. And they found themselves to be completely without blame. Sound familiar? It probably does sound familiar because it's how the brass handles everything in the military now. Do I need to remind you about the most jaw-dropping military response I've ever heard in my life in the wake of Afghanistan, in the wake of the terrorist bombing that killed our guys? The United States military launched a Reaper drone and we murdered 10 innocent Afghanis, 6 of them tiny, adorable children, guaranteeing the creation of more terrorists in the future. And the American military's response afterwards was this.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
is there discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
You can scoff and roll your eyes at that ridiculousness. Well, we're going to learn from it. I mean, there's no discipline. Really, nobody failed. Honestly, it was just a process failure. You can scoff or roll your eyes at it, but this is why so many of our best are getting out. They will not serve underneath a command where they know their lives will be destroyed, their careers will be ruined if they screw something up. But they see over and over and over again that at the highest level of power, that's simply not the case. Friggin' disgraceful. All right, before we get to emails and Letitia James and other things, the Nikki Haley thing might finally be mercifully coming to an end here. The Koch brothers hate Donald Trump. They're these huge Republican financiers. They have been for a very long time. And there's a real axe between Trump and these guys. And they have been looking forever to try to fund somebody to beat Trump. And they've been tossing gobs of money at Nikki Haley, which is just a hilarious waste of money, if we're being honest with you. And after Nikki Haley got beat by 20 in South Carolina, they announced today, well, here's the headline, the Koch brothers pull out of Haley after South Carolina skewering, courtesy of Zero Hedge. Look, people keep asking why she's still in, And other than her attempting to be vice president, I couldn't ever come up with a good explanation of it. I will tell you, if she doesn't pull out after this, I'll officially be weirded out. You see, you can stay in these races when you're running for president as long as you're raising gobs of money, as long as you have these billionaire losers on the Republican side stroking you big checks so you can go embarrass yourself. You can stay in, especially when you're one of these people without any shame whatsoever. You can stay in, but once the money dries up, I'll be shocked if this continues. If this continues, there's something else afoot, and I don't know. Chris thinks she's waiting for the Trump charges, meaning Chris thinks she's waiting, holding a presidential campaign. You know, you hold the campaign infrastructure together in the hopes. I hope this is not her hope, but I bet it is. It's Nikki Haley. In the hopes that Trump goes to prison and somehow that allows you to be the nominee. Where that's so incredibly misguided is this. Trump's the nominee no matter what. Whether he goes to prison or not, and I still think there's probably an above average chance he does go to prison before the election actually takes place. But whether he does or not, it's not like Trump's going to go to prison and then the nomination is somehow going to go to Nikki Haley. That would never happen in a million years. Even the convention, if that's what she's waiting for, that's what Chris thinks. Even at the convention, there's no way at the convention the delegates are going to take away the nomination of Donald Trump. It's not going to happen. I don't understand this way of thinking at all. And not only that, what an evil, cynical way to think about all that. I mean, it's terrible. Not pointing fingers at you, Chris. Everyone already knows you're evil and cynical. I was talking about Nikki Haley that time. But look, you're probably not wrong that maybe that's what she's holding out for. The GOP primary voter chose Donald Trump. Well, about half of them, right? But that's more than enough to get the majority. They chose Donald Trump. Whether you're a Trump lover or hater, the GOP nominee is going to be Donald Trump. And whether you're a Trump lover or hater, that's what the GOP base deserves. And however it works out, the GOP base will deserve it. Donald Trump is the GOP nominee. Maybe that's music to your ears. Maybe you're super mad about it. Doesn't matter. The real world is what it is. Donald Trump's the nominee. It ain't gonna be Nikki Haley, all right? All right. Let's talk for a minute about our medical systems in this country. How much faith we've lost in our medical systems in this country. It's really bad. Really bad. I saw something today. One of these communist nurses got caught putting up a social media post bragging about stabbing a conservative multiple times when he was trying to give blood because she found out he didn't have her politics. I'm very leery about our medical systems and what's coming for this country. That's why I've done this natural herbal supplement push so hard. I'm not telling you something I don't do on my life. I took my male vitality stack again today from Chalk. I am trying to avoid the doctor. I am drinking more water than I've ever drank. I am working out more than I have since the Marines, and I take natural herbal supplements because I want to stay out of the hospital. Male Vitality Stack from Chalk keeps me full of energy. You should see my leg bouncing right now. Keeps me feeling great. Keeps my mind working good. And it's all natural. And they're anti-communists. Chalk.com. Chok.com. Promo code Jesse. Go now. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Don't forget the iHeartRadio app is free. The podcast is free. It's the big ball of free around here, including freedom.
You know, freedom is not free.
Wait, that doesn't work because freedom's not free. But either way, you get it. All right, remember, this is going to come back to modern day and Letitia James and whatnot. But remember, we've talked before about how the communists who are waging this lawfare against Trump, the DAs and all these other people, there's a lot of thinking out there that they're all coordinating. And don't get me wrong, there's some coordination, but it's not that they're coordinating. That's not what makes it so bad. It's that they're competing with each other. They're competing. Now, what are they competing for? What are they trying to win? Well, you want to be part of the Central Committee. In a communist country, you want to be part of that conference room that has all the power and makes all the decisions for everybody. Now, you have to generally earn your way in to that conference room. After the Bolshevik Revolution, they had to figure out who was going to sit. Lenin and his boys had to figure out who was going to sit on the Central Committee. We need a guy who's in charge of this and a guy who's in charge of that, and you're in charge of agriculture, and you're in charge of, right? Who are we going to give all this power to? And who got most of those positions, pretty much all of those positions? Those positions were handed out to the men who did the most during the Bolshevik Revolution in the eyes of Lenin. It's why Stalin got a spot and Trotsky got a spot and all the, why did all these guys get these lofty spots? Because during the revolution, when they were trying to burn Russia to the ground, those were the guys who were the vanguard. They were leading this or leading that or killing this or killing that. That's how they earned their spot on the Central Committee. Now, after the revolution, when the Central Committee already existed, how did you get onto there? How could you get onto there? You had to prove to the other communists who were in charge that you were the most loyal person. You were the most committed person. You were the loyal soldier who would take on anything on behalf of the communist elite. That is how you got on to the Central Committee. It worked the same way everywhere. China, Cambodia, everywhere. You compete tooth and nail with other communists because you want the ultimate prize, a place at the table. That's what you want, a place at the table. People on the right are very, very angry, understandably so, with Letitia James right now. New York AG Letitia James. Why are they upset? Well, not only is she bringing down these unbelievable fines to Trump, $464 million so far. She's also announcing publicly she intends to seize his properties. And she's going beyond that, though. She's putting the right into a blind rage because she's publicly bragging about it. Why is she doing that? She's not doing the, hey, I'm just a loyal public servant routine. She's not even pretending. She's putting up on her social media, she's putting up a running tally of all the fines New York has dumped on Donald Trump. She's not hiding it. She's not doing the, I'm just doing this by the book thing, gotta follow the law. She's bragging about it. Why is Letitia James doing that? Because Letitia James is competing for a spot at the table. That's what. Now, we don't have a Central Committee yet, obviously. We don't have a Central Committee yet, so it's not an actual physical table yet. So what's she actually competing for? She wants to be United States Senator. Letitia James, once Chuck Schumer hangs it up. We know she wants to be governor, Letitia James. She was planning on challenging Cuomo when she led that coup. I still, to this day, remember, it's just a theory. I believe Letitia James and Schumer and Hochul all cut a deal. I think the deal was, hey, Letitia James said she'd take out Cuomo. Hochul gets the governor's mansion. Letitia James is promised Schumer's backing for the Senate when he decides to hang up his khakis. That's just a theory of mine. Chris, I hope you still have that one written down from a long time ago. When Letitia James runs for U.S. Senate, when Schumer retires, she runs for Senate, and he endorses her. We might just make the entire show, all 3 hours of me replaying that prediction over and over and over again. Anyway, she wants to move on up. She's already New York AG. She wants more and more and more communist power in this country. And so as she's doing the things communists love, things like persecuting her political opponents, she's not shy about it. She's not hiding from it. She's right out in your face about it. She's bragging about it, rubbing it in there because she's not coordinating. She's competing. At the back end of all this, she wants to stand up and say, I'm the one who hurt Trump the worst. Bad place to be as a country, but nevertheless, it's where we are. All right.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. This is so embarrassing. The Italians are even making fun of us. Did you see the video clip? Chris, did you see the video clip of this? Italian television put out a clip mocking Joe Biden. I'll play you just 30 seconds of the audio. It's so bad. This is, well, here it is.
I said to the president of Israel,
sì.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
No, no, non è Gorbachev, non è Gorbachev, il presidente dell'Israele, no, no.
Sorry, Michael Jordan.
No, 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 no.
When he went to the moon.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad. And this is what we talked about. We used to talk about this all the time after Biden first got elected. We kind of moved off it because everyone gets it by now. When the president speaks, when the American president speaks, the world watches. And this is something we as Americans do not fully appreciate because we don't watch when other world leaders speak. We just don't. I would venture to guess you couldn't hear the voice of a single other world leader and pick him out and know, oh, that's so-and-so from Germany. Ah, that's so-and-so from China. You probably can't do that with a single world leader. And I'll be honest with you, look, you and me, we talk about this every day for a living. I don't think I could just by the sound of their voice. But people around the planet, they know Joe Biden's voice. When the American president speaks, the world watches. The world listens. It's why it's so dangerous to have a president who can't speak. And when he speaks, he lies. Or, and you've heard me rant and rave about this a million times, when he does this I'm so stupid and helpless thing in front of his wife, man, there are many, many parts of the world where they don't take this and go, hardy, hard, hard, old Joe.
I know you just heard, did Jill Hardy speak, my wife? Well, what the hell am I doing here?
I can hardly talk. Man, that's so bad. That's bad. All right. Jesse and Chris, soft shell crab is the bomb. If you've never tried it, one more, give it a shot. They fry up the whole crab, toasted bagel, tartar sauce, so on and so forth. Well, brother, and he didn't say I can. Oh, he said I can use his name. His name is David. David, Chris can't have the soft shell crab. Are you not understanding the thing here? Chris is Jewish. It is against his beliefs to eat shellfish. What, Chris? No, no, no. Hold on now. Hold on, Chris. I sympathize with that. He's actually right. It's amazing. The first time I was presented soft shell crab, I said the same thing. Hold on. I'm just supposed to eat the whole thing? Buddy, it's incredible. It's not what you think. Now, listen to me. Listen. What am I telling you for? You're never going to eat one anyway, but whatever. They bread it and they deep fry it. It's not crunchy like a normal crab shell. That would make it really gross. The fry part is crunchy, but the crab on the inside's kind of chewy. Even the shell itself is chewy. Dude, it's really, really good. It's really good. It's not like chicken at all. You know what? Never mind. I'm not wasting my breath. Jesse, you're always touting anti-literally propaganda, and I 1,000% agree. The word is overused by literally everyone. That's not nice. You also tout putting your money where your morals are, yet almost every single guest you have on your TV show says literally, and you never call them out. Are you going to put your money where your mouth is, or are you just a low-T rhino? If you can't hold your guests accountable, I may just have to quit the anti-communist cause. The choice is yours. He said I could say his name. His name is Ammon. Okay, Ammon, allow me to explain. Because that criticism you just levied against me is very fair. However, it does, I'll tell you this, I do notice every time they say the word, because you know how much I say the word. The reason I don't interrupt them and say something is this. The problems are twofold. One, everyone says it. Very, very, very rarely will I have on a guest who can get through a 10-minute interview without using the word literally. This is the problem. It's become a filler word for Americans. It's just a natural reflex for them, literally and literally and literally. And it's just become completely natural for them. I can't stand it. That's one. Two, many of the people, not all, many of the people I have on my television show, remember, I have a TV show. It's on 9 p.m. Eastern on the First TV. Many of them are friends of mine, and I don't correct my friends in public. Have I sent them text messages afterwards? Yes, I have. Yes, I have, and I'm willing to do that. I don't correct friends in public. It's a violation of my code, and I will not do it. Did you hear what they're saying about Hunter Biden?
Part of the reason that he has stayed sober, beyond, I think, the love of his family, he got married, he had a little boy that he named after his his late brother, Bo.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, he sees his sobriety as related to the fate of the country. Basically, what he said is that, he thinks about the consequences of failure here.
Right.
That maybe that's the ultimate test for a recovering addict, because he knows if he relapses, it would...
They're really doing puff pieces on Hunter Biden and his sobriety because it's about saving America. How shameless do these people, how shameless do you have to be as a journalist? Okay, let's pause on something for a moment before I get to this story about the cop shoplifting in uniform. I was talking earlier about women carrying something on them that will allow them to protect themselves. Have you heard of Byrna? B-Y-R-N-A, Byrna. They have the coolest non-lethal stuff I've ever seen in my entire life. Just go B-Y-R-N-A. Their stuff is incredible. What I personally own four of is the Byrna launcher. You will know you're close to the Kelly household because when you get close, you will hear a steady whack, whack, whack from the backyard. Why? Because they have practice rounds full of baby powder, and my sons think it's the greatest thing in the world to load up their Byrna launchers and go out back and target practice with these things, 60 feet range. We're talking pepper balls, kinetic rounds. They're just like hard plastic rounds. Oh, you don't want to get shot with one of those tear gas rounds. Oh, but Jesse, what if I'm too scared? I can't hurt them. Shoot the ground in front of them. Tear gas, pepper... up to 40 minutes incapacitated. Ladies, you've been looking for it. Here it is. And they have holsters, whatever you need. Fellas, I love a non-lethal option, as you know, to go with the pistol I already carry. Legal in all 50 states. No permits, no background checks. They mail it to your house. BYRNA.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Go get a Byrna launcher, man. Byrna is, man, I know these people. I've had dinner with these people. They are passionate about saving lives. Go get you a Byrna launcher. All right. Oracle, I listen to the show every day here in Colorado. You educate us about the horrors and how American commies are destroying the country. I worry we focus too much on the guppies and not the big fish. If we really wanted to make an impact, shouldn't we direct our efforts toward those at the tippy top, like Soros and the WEF? 100% right. I mean, how many times have you heard me rant about the WEF and Soros and others? And this is why I've been ranting and raving about red state AGs. Now, they're not all bad. There are some very good ones out there. In Texas, actually, we have a really good one, Ken Paxton. You know how highly I regard politicians of all kinds, right? Ken Paxton's really good, man. He's a really good AG. There are some good AGs out there. Missouri had one, and then he went to become a senator. I'm kidding. I love the guy Schmidt, but he's awesome. Schmidt was a good one. Now Missouri has a really good senator. Schmidt is his name. So there are some out there. But this is really one of the things we need from red state AGs. They have the ability, and they do so often, to come together on legal cases. Red state AGs should be completely deconstructing the very illegal fundraising efforts and coordination efforts of the American communists. George Soros and his dirtball son who's taken over for him should live in fear of red state AGs, and they don't. And that is something that really needs to change. You've seen how these red state AGs can affect things like the ESG agenda. The reason you're not hearing as much about that now is they started going after these companies and they were successful. They need to do the same thing with the Soros people. All right, shoplifting cops and some emails and other things. Hang on.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, let's do this really quickly. You know, I've been warning you about the police departments in the country and what they're filling up with. I've warned you about what the military is filling up with. We're running out all the good cops. Guys don't want to be cops anymore. And so these police departments are filling up with turds. Did you know the Minneapolis Police Department, that they were trying to get over 1,000 officers prior to St. George Floyd dying? Then St. George Floyd dies. They frame the cop for it, who did what he was trained to do. They sent him to prison. Now they went from having 900. They were trying to get over 1,000. They went from having 900 to 500, and the number's dropping. That you can't get response times in Minneapolis. And the people they're hiring, lots of them are dirtballs. You remember that story we did out of Memphis about the dude who got arrested? And there were a bunch of DEI hire cops who got hired because they were black after St. George Floyd died. They lowered the standards, hired a bunch of DEI cops, and they ended up bringing in a bunch of thugs by accident who arrested some guy. You can watch a video of it, although I wouldn't recommend it. And they put this dude in handcuffs and straight up beat him to death with their bare hands. The criminals are putting on uniforms now because you ran the good people out of uniform. Here's a doozy for you. Columbus, Mississippi. Her name's Robin Connor. I'm 33. She walks into a Dick's Sporting Goods in uniform, puts on a $140 pair of tennis shoes, and tries to shoplift with them in uniform. Tries to walk out in uniform. Tried to shoplift a $140 pair of sneakers. You are going to see more stories in the coming years of corrupt cops than you could ever imagine. And this is the lower level stuff. It'll get a higher level like it got. Remember when New York City was very, at least historically, depending on your age, when it was really, 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 really badly corrupt? They ended up getting a lot of that cleaned up out of the NYPD back in the day. But when it was badly corrupt to the point they found out New York City cops were hitmen for the mob, some of them. They were runners for bank robbers and things. Like, it got really, really, really bad. And then it took a while look, they made movies about it. The Serpico and other movies where they finally had to get in and clean up all the corruption. You're going to see so many of those stories in various police departments in the coming years about some really dark, dark things happening in police departments. And look, everything has a price, man. Look, you want to take this kind of insanity and put it into police departments, do it and see what you get.
You may be surprised that the single image I use to capture the concept of white supremacy is Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, God creating man. You know, where God is in a cloud and there's all these angels and he's reaching out and he's touching, I don't know who that is, David or something. And God is white. And David's white and the angels are white, like that. That is the perfect convergence of white supremacy, patriarchy.
Yeah. We all laughed when those people were just college professors. What are you going to do when that's the cop who shows up at your front door when you need help? Or this lady, Rachel Spraker is her name. She's the VP of DEI division at the University of Virginia. And let's just pause on that for a moment. Remember, these people love this stuff because without DEI, without this open anti-white racism, where would they be? This lady would be nowhere. You'd never hear her name. We laughed about this mentality in the university system. What do you do when it's the police?
Yeah, that sort of privilege of ignorance and sort of the sort of fallacy of innocence. I think what's been important for me. So I think, I grew up in rural Appalachia. There are a couple things, but really, actually, when
pause for a second, they always do this too. These people who get to these elite universities, they always talk about where they grew up as it's some horrible redneck dump full of a bunch of evil white racists. You heard her right away. I grew up in rural Appalachia. She's about to talk down about that, all those stupid racist hicks out there in Appalachia.
I was an undergraduate at UVA. I had the opportunity to take a class with Julian Bond. Obviously, he passed away a couple of years ago, but I had the opportunity to learn from him in particular ways and to be given those thinking tools that let me see differently and also let me see. I don't know if you all have taken up Metzl's book, sort of Dying of Whiteness, mm-hmm. necessarily in your reading groups. But I think, the space that I've been in where I grew up, you could see it. Right, the way that white people are actually dying of whiteness too. In my immediate sort of peer group, it's kind of personal, right? But it's like I have.
Chris, while she talks, would you do me a favor and look up how much it costs to send your child to University of Virginia? Just want to know how many upper middle class Republican parents are sending their children to this place.
Had a couple of cousins. They had friends, like the sort of toxicity of whiteness around them and certain things that were happening for them. Many of
the toxicity of whiteness.
Them were dying prematurely also, right? Sort of in their 20s, and I think it's...
Yeah, you got it. Dying prematurely. Do you want your dog to die prematurely? You know our dogs die prematurely, right? Because we never give them nutrition. We just don't. We give them dog food. We think we give them nutrition, and that's the real sad part of it. We think that dog food we give them is giving them vitamins and minerals. If you'd asked me a year ago, 2 years ago, hey, Jesse, does your dog get nutrition from his dog food? I would have told you, yes, of course. But there's no nutrition in dog food. It's brown for a reason. They kill everything in the dog food. So start pouring Rough Greens on your dog's food. Free Jumpstart trial bags. Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement created by a naturopathic doctor. He knows what he's doing. Your dog, you will have years longer with him. Don't you want years longer with him? Call 833-MY-DOG. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Free Jumpstart trial bags. Watch your dog come alive. You'll see a difference in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Federal contractor paid billions by the Pentagon is set to host Robin DiAngelo and hold a white fragility book club. Oh, that's crazy. Who's Robin DiAngelo? She's the professor you just heard the audio of talking about how white the Sistine Chapel was. You're about to pay for the Pentagon to host her. Democrat warns Putin will roll over Ukraine without more U.S. aid. Yes. Probably will. Yes, we understand that. You shouldn't have spent all our money. Ukraine's top spy chief says Navalny died from a blood clot and rejects the murder narrative. We're never going to know the reality of why that Navalny guy died in Russia. Why? Because all these people lie all the time. All right. We'll do it again tomorrow, okay? That's all.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.